Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. Today is Thursday. It is the 7th of October, 2021. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have, as per tradition, Dr. Mac. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Kelly. Happy Thursday.
And to you. I'm so glad you're here. You have sort of been documenting the journey of the new iPhone when you go from one to the next, because we started with is it time to upgrade, and then we did if you want to upgrade, how to get the best deal on it, and now we're on once you've decided it's time to upgrade and you have purchased that upgrade and now you have received that upgrade, it's time for the new phone setup.
Yeah, I got a couple of tips.
Okay.
I thought I was pretty good at this. And, you know, getting two phones at once reinforced that maybe I should have been a little more vigilant up front, because I didn't know a couple of things that ended up, being irritating, if nothing else. And in one case, wasting a bunch of time because I expected to be done and wasn't.
And
I'll tell you about that in a minute. But what I thought about after the fact was, you know, I bet Apple has one of those support documents about how to do this transfer thing and all the little things you should do.
Mm-hmm.
And they sure enough do. And I thought, I wish I had thought to go look at that before I did two upgrades. Because one of the things that I didn't get was, if your new phone has an eSIM and your old phone uses a physical SIM, you can throw the physical SIM away.
Oh.
Your new phone will enable itself when you turn it on and go through that setup process.
Hey.
Now, I didn't know that.
I did not either.
Nor did my wife, nor did most people, which is why I took the time to write about it this time, because it mattered. My wife said, I don't want to take my new iPhone to work till I have a good case and a glass screen cover.
Mm-hmm.
I said, okay, we won't move the SIM then. So she turned it on and played with it a little and, you know, looked at it and said, okay, I'm just going to take my old phone to work tomorrow with the SIM in it, right? With the physical SIM in it.
Uh-huh.
And when she got to work tomorrow, which, you know, was last week, but she got to work and no cell service.
Uh-oh.
Why? Because it automatically, it just knew that her new phone was in service because it had pinged a tower, I guess.
Okay.
Doesn't really say why, but I make the assumption that if you set it up, it's enabled and your old SIM is then, you know, useless. You can throw it away.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to move it. And if you move it, I didn't write about this because it was just it was just a minor irritation. But if you move your SIM to the new phone, you'll look like you have two lines.
Oh.
But one of them won't work.
Great.
It won't do anything. But it looks like you have two lines with the same phone number. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I figured it out eventually. I was going to call them and say, hey, my phone thinks it's got two phone numbers that are the same. What's wrong? And I realized, well, you know, if I pop the SIM out, what happens?
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is it behaved normally again.
It starts working.
So that's tip number one is give some thought to that SIM thing if it matters. You know, it didn't matter to me that much, but to my wife it did. She ended up taking a phone to work that wouldn't make phone calls. Luckily, she works at a place with Wi-Fi and pretty much got by all day without cell service, but it could be a problem. So anyway, Apple has a tech note. I mention it in Rants and Raves episode 455, which is available now at your very favorite website. And it basically says to do four things. Unpair your watch. Now, I had done that because I'm used to that. I know if I got a new phone, I need to unpair the watch from the old phone. What it didn't remind me to do, and I was a little surprised, was to turn off Find My, because you can't. Well, you can't get rid of your old phone until you've done that and erased it and stuff.
Yeah,
that wasn't in there, but it did say to back it up.
Okay.
And it said something that I thought about, well, I, of course, but it could be a stopper. Here's the thing. You need to know your Apple ID and password. And I thought, well, my mother doesn't know it. And my wife may or may not know it off the top of her head. Mm-hmm. But it's a good idea to have it handy because you'll be asked for it at least once during this process. No matter whether you're logged into iCloud or not. Mm-hmm. And then finally, they talk about the SIM and the eSIM thing. And had I read that, I probably wouldn't have tried sticking the SIM in my phone. I'm not sure I would have realized that her phone would be enabled and her physical SIM would be disabled without me moving anything anywhere. But the tech note doesn't really describe that situation, but I think I might have thought it through and said, you might not want to turn it on and play with it yet. But I don't know. Now I know. I'll never do that again.
Yeah.
And then the second thing was hers took a long time. We used, for both of them, we used the put the two devices next to each other.
Yeah.
Quick start mode.
Quick start,
and,
yeah.
And it usually works really well. In this case, hers just took a long time. Like, it said 2 hours and 41 minutes remaining. And 2 hours later, it said 2 hours and 31 minutes remaining. Mm-hmm. And the next morning, it came, you know, it got through. So hers just took a long time.
Yeah.
Mine displayed the lack of progress bar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the little Apple logo with the white yep. line. And it went about seven-eighths of the way across, and it just locked up.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't restart the phone. I got error messages on the computer. I figured, oh, this is bad. But I thought, okay, I'll just leave it overnight since nothing else was working. And in the morning, I started pressing more buttons harder and was able to use recovery mode to restore it successfully. But it took three tries, and I got a lot of, you know, your phone can't be restored because of what did it say? Unknown error.
Because of an error.
Zero. Yeah. No, unknown error.
Oh.
To which I say, like hell, it's unknown. You knew enough to put an alert on my screen. Come on. And I love it's number zero.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's number one. Well, okay. Where do I look that up?
Mm-hmm.
Where do I find out what error number one means?
Yeah.
Well, apparently you can't. That's only the wizards at the Genius Bar are allowed to know that.
Well, I can talk about the last time I had a migrated phone. And when I did that, there were several gyrations to that at my house. But first, I want to take a minute and tell you about our sponsor this week, who is ZocDoc. And ZocDoc offers a free app that lets you find a doctor that is all of what you're looking for. You can get verified patient reviews. You can get you can search on doctors that take your insurance. You can search on doctors that are in your area and take your insurance. You can read reviews and find one that you want to visit. They offer in-person and video appointments, and it's not just for primary care doctors either. If you need a dentist or a psychiatrist or a dermatologist or an eye doctor or any other, they have lots and lots of kinds of specialists that you can search for. And ZocDoc has those as well. So if you want to do this, here's what to do. Go to ZocDoc.com/TDO, ZocDoc.com/TDO. And from there, you can sign up for free and book one of the doctors that gets a lot of ratings. And some of those doctors are available as soon as today. And like I said, you can even get a video visit. So you don't even have to worry about travel time or anything. So ZocDoc.com/TDO. And we'd like to thank ZocDoc for sponsoring the show today. Now, the last time I had to upgrade an iPhone, I used the Quick Start, and it took a very long time. And it did the same sort of thing that you were talking about where it like got the progress bar and just sat there. But I did the, you know, take the picture for the quick start, like take the picture and wait it out. And I let them sit there for a while and it didn't seem like anything was happening. I don't think I gave it 2 hours, but I did give it quite some time and ended up having to bail out. And the last time Mr. Kelly updated a phone, his was flawless. It took about an hour to do everything, but he has lots and lots of apps and things installed on his phone. So that made sense. Mine just took a really long time. And then I kind of went, you know, that's like exactly where the progress bar was like 20 minutes ago. So I'm just going to bail on it. So I blew it all away and started over again. And the second time through, it went totally fine. So that was at least sort of nice. But I really like the quick start as opposed to when you used to have to plug in and make a complete backup of the old phone and then get the new phone and plug the new phone in and go, this is a brand new phone and I want to restore from my backup and do everything. I find
and
that
then it still took 3 or 4 hours.
Like that took forever. So this is a lot more efficient and it also seems to transfer more. Something about like the Bluetooth, like, I don't know if it's using, you know, partly Bluetooth transfer for any of that or something, but it's got some sort of security mechanism in it because like passwords and stuff all get transferred over as well. So you don't generally have to log into everything, which is very nice.
And keyboard shortcuts and little stuff that you just, you know, wouldn't think to or know how to transfer manually anyway. So yeah, I like it a lot. And I had no surprises. I mean, it's like my new phone was set up exactly like my old phone with everything exactly where I thought it would be. And there was, you know, I didn't have to re-log into, something asked me to log in again and I had to figure out what my credentials were for it. But like one thing out of 400 was pretty good.
it's definitely a much better solution than we used to have. I'll say that for sure.
You know, not that I would ever even think about it, but I wonder how it is to like go from Android to iOS or the reverse.
There's an app if you go from Android to iOS because they help you. They help
Apple
guide you
made
through
it secretly.
Well, it wasn't that secret because they want everybody to know that it's a thing so that you can go like, let's import your contacts and, you know, let's get your mail all set up and certain stuff like that, that you can. That wouldn't matter what device you're on. Like you still need to know your email account and your password and here's your Wi-Fi networks and like here's your contacts and things like that.
Does anybody ever do that the other way? Like leave the iOS platform and move to Android and need to move all their data to Android?
So you're just going.
Is that like a possibility?
For those playing along at home, apparently Bob has decided that since it's October, he's going to start telling scary stories here on the podcast.
Well, I'm just thinking nobody in their right mind, I mean, well, nobody I know would ever consider such a thing. But I have to wonder if I had, you know, all these trauma this year. Last year was last time we did this. I didn't have hiccups. Mm-hmm. This time I had hiccups. They resolved themselves, but it took a lot longer than I expected. I can't imagine what it would be like to try to do this with two different operating systems.
Yeah, I don't imagine it's fun.
If anybody out there has had this experience, would you write to us and let us know what that was like? I like to live vicariously through other people's pain.
Yeah. So you can do that by getting a hold of us at observations@macobserver.com. You can get TMO Daily on Twitter, or you can leave comments in the show notes. So mostly I think that's going to do it for us. The eSIM tip, I think, is very, very handy because I didn't realize that was going to be a thing. So I'll have to watch for that in the future.
Yeah, tuck that away. I mean, it might matter, it might not, but knowing it will allow you to work around it if you need to.
Absolutely. So,
thing is just allow more time because I started mine at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon thinking by dinner time, I'd be able to unplug my phone and take off. Right.
Yeah.
But it wants them to sit on the table next to each other until it's done. Mm-hmm. So even a few hours later, I wasn't using either phone, which kind of irritated me. But had I thought of it, I would have started later and let it run overnight, you know, when it wouldn't have bothered me.
Yeah.
So it's good to know. It's like, that's a good thing to think of, is don't start it in the middle of the day if you think you're going to need either phone for in the next hour or two.
Yeah.
Because you might not have access to either phone for a few hours.
Mm-hmm. Always, yeah, definitely good to make sure that that's not what's happening. Or at least do what you can to plan for that.
Yeah, not something I've given thought to in the past, but will in the future.
Yeah.
Timing is everything. Yeah.
It is indeed. And if you have trouble with your SIM or with your eSIM, generally that's something you'll have to call your carrier about. I know you'd probably rather talk to Apple support, but generally there's not a whole lot they can do for you except sort of, you know, ask the basics like, you know, did you snap your card in half? Okay, no. If everything's fine, then yeah, you're going to just need to
snap your eSIM in half.
You know, I thought it was a cup holder and I set my coffee on it and it broke.
Well, I read that book. That was Tech Support Nightmares That Never Really Happened.
I'm pretty sure it absolutely happened, but we'll talk about that another day.
No, I'm sure it did too.
That's going to do it for us today. Bob, as always, thanks so much for coming by.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other and let's be careful out there.